So, you'll know that the topic this morning is breath. Not just our own breath, but God's breath. We know about breath, don't we? We all took our first breath as a baby. We're breathing now. And one day we'll take our final breath. It's estimated that we take between 17 and 20,000 breaths a day. But how often do you notice your breath? If you're a Pilates exerciser or a yoga exerciser, you'll know that you have to take certain breaths. So for Pilates, you breathe in to prepare for the action that you're going to take, and out, so you do the action. I don't know what yoga is. I haven't done yoga. Well, I did, but we had the giggles and got thrown out of the class. If you're learning to swim or you're learning to sing, you'll be trained how to use your breath, how to reach the high notes, how to prolong the long notes, how to glide gracefully through the water. And I think all the Winter Olympic team have been learning how to use their breath on those ski slopes, aren't they? But apart from anything like that, our breath is automatic and we largely take it for granted. So it's distressing then when an illness occurs that disrupts our breath. And COVID was a real learning curve for that, wasn't it? I became aware of the importance of my breath when I was diagnosed with asthma. It was wretched when you gasp for breath, you can't get the next one. And Mike at home just couldn't watch me, just thought it was horrible. And after using blue and brown inhalers, I now have my trusty pink one. It's a preventative inhaler and a rescue inhaler. But when it doesn't rescue, I unfortunately have to go and sit on a nebulizer, which gives me much more medicine. When I'm going through my asthma attack, I always sing in my head, "Be still and know that I am God." I do it for everything, really, but especially in that. It's not just a calming psychological thing I'm saying. It's just because I know that it's not just the amazing medicine or medical staff looking after me, but it's my awesome God who's looking after me and looking after the people looking after me. Although sometimes they don't know that. In September, just before Christmas, I had flu, and that led to nasty asthma attacks. And while I was going through it, I not only felt the love of God looking after me, I also felt him telling me off. We all get nudged, don't we, at times. He was saying, "June, you've stretched yourself too thin, you've been to too many places with too many people, picked up too many germs, and you've caused a lot of this yourself. Be more careful with your breath." And then just before Christmas, he reiterated that and gave me some advice. He said, "Study my breath. It's important. And use that study for a sermon." Well, I heeded the first bit. I got my study books out. But I confidently and loudly reminded him I'd given up preaching, so a sermon was out of the question. Well, what do you know? What do I know? I'm here. So when I started the study, I looked at the commentators, and they all started with the Hebrew word ruach and numa. So we had the Hebrew ruach and the Greek pneuma. And both words mean spirit and breath and wind. It signifies the divine power that creates us and sustains us and redeems us. And it's considered to be the tangible yet invisible presence of God. You can't see God in things around you. We can't see God, but we can feel God. The three passages I've chosen to illustrate Ruach are very, very well known, and you will know them inside out and upside down. But I still think being reminded about them this morning might give you a little bit of food for thought for next week. And the first verse that Mary's going to read for us is from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being.
In chapter 1 of Genesis, we see how God created everything, the universe, the animals in the air, the sea and the land. And then there's a verse that says, and then God said, let us make man in our own image and let him rule over these creatures. So he created man in his own image. He created them male and female. And we often sort of stick at that, don't we? We're really proud that God has made you and me in his image. But we don't often think about what Mary's just read. We don't really think of the breath at times, do we? The first human was made of dust. Andy reminded us on Ash Wednesday, from dust we came, to dust we'll go. God made the body from dust, but that body wasn't as useful as any of the birds and animals and fish and everything, because it wasn't living until God breathed his breath into Adam's nostril. Now, maybe I'm the only one here that doesn't regard that. And maybe that's why the Lord is telling me to look at this again. Because we don't always read Genesis, I don't think. It's awesome. God made us in his own image and breathed his breath into us. We are breathing it now. And when I was neglectful of the way I was living and having these asthma attacks, I felt quite ashamed because I just not thought how special we are as human beings with this breath. We have a fragile earthly nature created to be image bearers, but we have a touch of the divine. God has set us apart from everything else by his breath. It's his life in us. How can I take that for granted? How can I? So today, I want you to know how much you are loved by this Creator God. And I want you to value your life as God values your life. Our second passage is from Ezekiel, and I think Anna's reading that one. Thank you.
This reading is from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 4 to 10. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone by bone. I looked, and tendons appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord says. Come from the four winds of breath, and breathe into these slain that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army.
Notice the words that God... this is a picture of the Jews in exile, and Andy's used this a few times in the past year, hasn't he? So we know this very well. And Ezekiel is to prophesy to them and say, you're not going to be in exile all the time. We're going to revive you. We're going to resurrect you, and you're going home. Notice the word God tells Ezekiel to use. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. God does that. He brings all the bones together and all the other things of the body, and he makes a body just as God made us from dust. He makes this body. But then he told Ezekiel to go to call on the four winds, and that's where the second meaning of ruach comes in. God's breath can come with the wind. Come from the four winds, O breath, into these slain, that they might live. Verse 10, breath entered them, and they came to life. Now, some commentators that I read call this a resurrection breath, which it was, but I prefer to call it a revival breath. God revived the Jewish nation, both physically and spiritually. So I thought, why have I got to study this, Lord? Well, when Ezekiel looked at those dry bones and was told to pray over them and prophesy to them, he must have thought, this is impossible. But he did it. He obeyed God, and he did it. And I think God wants me, and hopefully you, to look on our world, not in any sense of dry bones in a valley, but to look on our world as desolation, this destitution, devastation, because people around us, they're working, they're charming, they have lovely lives, they raise a family, they've got all sorts of good things happening, but they don't know the Lord. They're spiritually dead, like the dry bones. And so I think God's wanting me to pray for a revival breath. Ephesians 2:12 reminds us that the lost are without hope and without God in the world. When we look at the news, we just can't bear it sometimes, can we? The restlessness of nations, the upheavals in our culture, the condition of the economy through greed, and the constant threat of war. But I think that we are called to obey God as Ezekiel obeyed God and take the message of grace to this world so that he can breathe a revival breath. When I'm praying for revival, I want people coming in through these doors and our church to stand and rise. I want all the churches in Woodstock. I want all the churches in our nation to be revived and be full of God-fearing people. But you know, when I am praying, I still admit to feeling, this is impossible. But looking at Ezekiel, I think that's helped me to have a little bit more fervor. My third passage is one of my all-time favourites that Bruce is going to read, and it's from John chapter 20.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the door locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
I so connect with this passage because I think I too would have hidden away like that. I'm at heart a cowardly soul. The disciples are frightened, so when Jesus appears to them out of nowhere, he says, "Peace be with you." They knew that, didn't they? "Peace be with you." He identified himself with the marks of the cross, and the disciples were overjoyed. Can you imagine it? Oh, sent a tingle. And then he said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And he breathed on me. And this breath was the infilling of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of what all who would believe would experience at Pentecost. As Adam came to life with God's breath, now through the breath of Jesus, God imparted spiritual, eternal life. And with this inbreathing came the power to do God's work on earth. So those three passages are Ruach, breath, spirit, and, I've got one more breath. I've got to take a breath now. The next breath isn't to do with Ruach. It's another lovely one. And it's from Timothy chapter 3 that Andy is going to read to us now.
Timothy 2:16. All scriptures is God's breath and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thank you, Andrew. All scripture comes from God's mouth. Didn't write it down. He's not the one that wrote everything in the Bible. But everything in the Bible is God-breathed. Earlier we said that God's breath is the tangible but invisible presence of God in the world. But here in Timothy, God's breath appears as a written word. In my commentary in my Bible, it said, "The Bible, therefore, should be our standard for testing everything else that claims to be true. Never mind about Trump's Truth Social and all those other things that are going on at the minute, AI, all the rest of it. Our Bible is the standard that we have to test everything against. Because Scripture is God-breathed, we should read it and apply it to our lives. And the Bible safeguards us from false teaching and guides us as to how we live." There are many other aspects of God's breath to explore. Job tells us about God's protective breath. The Psalms have much to say about how important God's breath is. Maybe in the house group next week we could have a look at that. I don't know. Before I finish, I want to give you my profound apology if I've insulted you this morning with the simplicity of this. I've given you milk, not solid food. But the fact I've shared this with you when I've given up preaching I think, is testament that the Lord wanted me to be here this morning. So as we leave, maybe we must remember to value our lives as God values them. We must pray fervently for that revival breath and emulate Ezekiel's obedience. We must be even more thankful for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which promises us so much. And may we continue to read our Bibles and apply inspirational breath to our lives. Amen.